But first of all, we are priests unto our God, and then we can reign on the earth. We can rule on the earth. Now, by the grace of God, today we are going to look at one. We are still in the aspects of grace. And today we look at the story of the prodigal son, or the lost son. And we look at it from a different angle. And this will be the angle of a son. And this is something that we need to see. And then we'll ask ourselves the question whether we are taking the grace of the Lord in vain. So we're going to link up the grace of the Lord in vain, taking the grace of the Lord in vain. And we're going to link it up with the story of the lost son and the parable of the lost son. And we're in Luke chapter 15. If we can go there, Luke chapter 15. And the Bible says, verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11, the Bible says that, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a faraway country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." And I'll stop there because of time, but just to make our point. Now, when we see the aspects of these parables that Jesus gives, he actually gives a series of three parables. One is the parable of the lost sheep, then he gives the parable of the lost coin, then he gives the parable of the lost son. Now, it's interesting why the Bible chooses to use the word son. And remember, we think of God coming and his desire to have sons of God. God's desire, when we read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, is that he chose us in Christ. In love, he predestined us to be the adopted of God, or to be adopted as children of God, to be adopted as sons of God. So God's desire was to have sons. And what does he do? He sends his only son, who is Christ, to die for us. And then we believe and we come into the fold to become children of God. Now, when we are in the kingdom of God, then as children, as sons, then we have an inheritance. And this is something that the son was aware of. And for me, if I compare the son, the you know, the young son and the older son. The older son was always with the father, knew, I mean, he never asked for his share, or he never asked for his inheritance, or he was more of a slave in his father's house. He could not see the resources, he could not ask, he could not, you know, even ask for something to rejoice. He was basically laboring. But then we see a young man or a young son. Yes, he is young. He does not understand, you know, the laws or the principles of inheritance, that it is apportioned to you when your father dies. But he sees there is something in his father, or there are resources that are for him, and he asks for it. Now, I know we usually use this parable for unbelievers and to speak to, you know, to those who have wasted their life and all that, but I want us to picture we that are saved, we being those lost sons. And when we speak of this son who takes all the resources that God has given him, think of the inheritance, think of the gifts that God gives us as part of the package of our salvation. Think of everything, be it the Holy Spirit, be it the unique giftings that God has given us, be it the abilities that God gives us. And the Bible says, this young son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know, when we speak of the word prodigal, it's actually wasteful living. And this is a challenge that we have many believers that God has invested. In fact, some came to God and asked for specific gifts. They asked for specific, you know, anointings. They asked for specific graces. They asked for jobs. They asked for, you know, favor. And God granted it, because the Father, the heart of the Father is one that is willing to always give. I mean, the Bible says the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. He is irrevocable. Once he gives, he does not take it away. And you see that in the things that are inherent in people. Even though they use them for their own wickedness, God does not take it away. And even for the Israelites, he had called them. And since he has still called their fathers, he still loves them. Now, the giftings and calls of God are irrevocable. Now, this young man, and this also speaks of his immaturity, in that in the faith he was not stable, he had not yet grown, he asked for this, and instead of directing those resources in the right way or in the right place, and my thinking was, what if he had gone and he had invested it, and he had established these resources, and he had grown even beyond what his father had given him? Ideally, it would have not have been wrong, in that he would have gone and made effective use of what he was given. And, you know, at times in some situations where you'd rather, some cultures allow the sons to actually go somewhere else and make something for themselves, in that to avoid that conflict between the two sons who were in the same place. And in his mind, most likely he was thinking, well, his older brother takes the double portion, so he has more, so he'd rather just take his portion and go. But then in his waste, he loses everything, and he has to go and join himself to the citizens of that country and to work. And he asks for work, and he's sent to the pigs. Now, remember, when we speak of pigs, we speak of, you know, when God speaks of those that are pigs, it speaks pigs are those that have fallen away, or those that, you know, that go back to their own vomit, or go back to their own dirt, or those that have a form of truth but have rejected Christ in a way, or they have moved away from that which was originally given to them, the salvation that is given to them. And remember, Jesus said he does not waste his, do not throw away your pearls to swine. So swine is one of the tough words that is used for those that already believe, but move away from it. Swines, there's also dogs, you know. So there are tough words that are used for that. And so he goes and sits with the pigs, and he desires to eat from the pigs because he was hungry and no one gave him to eat. Now, if you think of it also metaphorically, you are given a grace of God. You are given a direction of God. You are given a specific activity to do. And then when you go away from the place that God has asked you to be at, then you find that you are actually in the wrong place. You're actually lacking bread. You're actually lacking revelation from God. You're actually lacking His voice. And when you're hungry, then there is no one to feed you. And so this is, he's in a place where, yes, he had this inheritance, but because he's not in a place where the inheritance can be guarded, then he is lost and he loses it. And eventually the word that he has goes and he is hungry. But you see, for me, what I love is how God looks at this son, or how the father looks at his son. At no point does the father, one, go back to look for him. And this is interesting because the father did not go to look for the son. Why? Because the son was already a son. The son did not lose his relationship. He did not lose his sonship. He did not lose that connection that made him a son. But he was wasted and he was away from where he was supposed to be, and he lost everything. And many people are actually complaining to God, but yet they are not in the place where they're supposed to be. And so the father does not go looking for the lost son. Why? Because he expects the son to know and to come to his own senses and come back. Now, when the son gets to that point of realization, he asks himself, look at me, I am worse off. I am about to eat with pigs, but yet the least of the servants in my father's house has enough food to spare. And he says, look, I will go back to my father and I will say, I am not worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your own hired servants. So the wasteful son, who was young, immature, he was youthful, he lacked maturity, wasted his resources and wasted the grace that was given to him. And I want us to just now link it up with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is where it speaks about the grace of God in vain. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, we then, as workers together with him also, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Earlier on, he had already told them about how, you know, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation, you know, and how God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and how God was, he made he that knew no sin to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And then he says, we then, as workers or as co-workers together with God, we plead with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. Sons, this message is really for sons. Sons who have received the grace of God, have received the mercy of God, have received the forgiveness of God, have received the inheritance, have received the promised Holy Spirit, have received different graces that God has given us. And yet, we are not in our place of assignment. We are not doing that which God has asked us to do. We are wasting that which God has given us. And the reality is, as we say, God writes his laws in our hearts, in our minds, in the new covenant. You don't need anyone to teach you right and wrong, because the Spirit of God within you continually will rebuke you and will tell you, by the way, you're not doing this. You're supposed to do this. You know you can do this. You know I gave you the gift for this. stop wasting away, because as you waste away, you find that you are hungry, you find that you are with pigs, and you find that you are not in the place of authority and dignity that the Father gave you. And you can see when he comes back, he has torn clothes. That's why he needs a new robe. He has no sandals on his feet. That means he was walking barefoot. And this is sad, because the Son took the grace of God in vain. One final verse as we conclude in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. The Bible says, Paul says this, But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. That means he tells them, you guys, don't take the grace of God in vain. But he tells them, but for me, I did not take the grace of God in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And he speaks about him being the least of the apostles, maybe from verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. God has given us so much grace. We are wasting it and taking the grace of God in vain, or are we like Paul, who will say, the grace of God in me was not in vain, but I labored all the more, but yet not I, but Christ, but his grace that labored in me, but it was God's grace which was with me. Yes, we labor for the gospel, but even in our labor, we know that it is God's grace that labors in us. I think I'll stop there, and I pray that God has passed his word to us. You're welcome for any reflections as God places in your heart.
It's a good reminder that we need to not take the grace of God in vain. From the story of the prodigal son, the aspect of being impatient also was, I think, culturally, the father was supposed to be the one to initiate the discussion of inheritance.
Yeah.
But you see the younger son here initiating his kind of arrogance, but also impatient. The Bible that God's timing is Christians, we need to learn how to wait at perfect timing. And we see that the son here was impatient. He could not wait the perfect timing.
Yeah.
He rushed to receive what he thought was his. He went and misused it.
Yeah.
But then God being God, he allowed him to go and live by his will out there. Rock bottom. On what the pigs meant, Jewish then, culture. It was the least of animals, unclean. You can't even eat it. But by the time you are eating with the pigs, he had really reached the deepest of all humiliation as a Jew. But the joy here and the hope that is the good news is that the father never gave up on him. So he never went out there to look for him. He waited for him to return. And that is the joy we have in the Lord. But the thing is that many Christians out there never realize that there is that opportunity to go back home.
Yeah.
Even when we mess up, even when we feel like we've committed the greatest of sins, we can go back and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you.
Yeah.
He will be glad to open his arms and welcome you back home.
Mm-hmm.
But that reality needs to sink in deep, because many have departed this world even before their time, because of the not knowing that they can always go back and redeem themselves.
Yeah.
So yes, thank you a lot for that reminder. And indeed, it's great to remember that there is no sin that he cannot forgive. If he give our iniquities, sins we commit knowing,
yeah,
our battle, what we will have. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Great, powerful additions. Amen. That's powerful. Yeah. Let's not die in our sin. Let's remember that God is always merciful and he's ready for us to come back. Yeah. Brother Nish? Any additions? Okay, Tarimba, nothing to add. Nish, any reflections? Okay, if there's none, we can pray together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. We thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word that has come forth, that you're calling us to that place of not taking your grace in vain, and that place of remembrance that first of all, we are sons, and we have not lost our sonship. We are just in the wrong place and wasteful and or moving and playing with pigs. And God, you are still with open arms, and you're ready to receive your children. And you say, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who at this moment is taking a moment to just speak back to the Father and come to their senses. And we remove that blindness that prevents people from seeing the truth that the Father's arms are always waiting and is able to restore to the same dignity, to the same authority, to, you know, to the fattened calf that is still available. And I pray that, Lord, your mercy will prevail, that, Lord, we shall be able to stand firm, we shall be able to look unto you, we shall be able to be guided by you, and that indeed you shall continue to teach us how to say no to ungodliness and how to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present world. Your hand and presence goes ahead of us. Keep us, sustain us, and watch over us, O God. Indeed, may your grace labor in us, that even as we labor for you, the Lord, it shall not be in vain, but you shall work in us to the praise and honor of your holy name. May this day be blessed. Your hand and power go ahead of us, of our families, of our children, of our future, of our relatives, O God, of our parents, O God. Your grace and presence is with them. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless and have a blessed morning ahead.